We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. It's a beautiful day to be alive and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We want to thank you for being here and being a part of the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by Merritt Assembly of God and some of the businesses that are represented in our church. Also, thank you to listeners who are out there who've given words of encouragement and made some donations to help defray the expense of bringing this broadcast. We do pray that it is a blessing to you, and we don't take it for granted. We recognize that it is a privilege, and we will continue doing this as long as God allows us to do so. So we pray that you are having a good day. Today is March the 15th. Just a word of warning. It's now 31 days until your taxes are due, and so you will want to get those taken care of here very, very shortly. Also, today is primary election day here in Florida, so get out and cast your vote if you've not already done so. If you are not registered to vote, you can't go register on the same day, but you can go get registered for the general election with the presidential election coming up in November. We also have a Senate election as well as House of Representatives, so it is a big year for Florida elections, and you want to be positioned legally to where you can cast your vote. My thing is this: if you do not vote, you should not complain. If you did not position yourself to make your voice heard, then at the beginning of the process, then don't make your voice heard during the during whatever pans out. So you can take that for whatever it's worth or not. I'm just here to share basically biblical principles, and I think that we are supposed to be stewards for our stewards of everything that has been entrusted to us. So I want to take you to Genesis chapter 6 today. We're going to be talking a little bit about covenant, and in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 17, it says there, "And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive. With you they shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive, and you shall take for yourselves of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. So I want to talk to you here a little bit about the basis, some of the foundational elements of covenant, and then we will start looking at some of the covenants that God had established. This was not the first covenant that was established. The first covenant was established with the sun and the moon and the stars, and I believe it's in Jeremiah. It says, and I could be wrong about that, but it says, if you can break or violate the covenant that I have with the sun, the moon, and the stars, then you can understand that I will violate my covenant with you. So there's a couple of interesting principles there. First, covenant is God initiated. And what it says is this: if you look at my track record, if you see that I violate my covenant, if I am unfaithful in one covenant, then you can understand that I will be unfaithful in another covenant. And so when we are talking about covenant, we are talking about that one of the essential elements that is necessary in a covenant is that of faithfulness. That of faithfulness. And so God says that he is the one who initiates this covenant process with Abraham. He was the one who initiated the covenant with the sun, the moon, and the stars. And so you can look and see that God has a track record of faithfulness. When God initiates a covenant, be it between a covenant between himself and his pinnacle of creation, that is you and I, when he creates that covenant with us, you need to understand that it was initiated by him, not by you. If you are waiting upon God to do something, I want you to know that God's already done it. Now, like we talked about yesterday, let me take you back there, because I don't think I talked about this particular aspect. Let me take you back to Acts 17, where it said that God had determined and pre-appointed our times and boundaries. Verse number 27 describes the purposes that we should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Okay? And so that is the purpose. God divinely selected and divinely placed you where you live at such a time as this because he wants you to seek him. And here in the New King James Version, it describes the search as one groping for him. Now, I'm going to tell you a funny story. It's absolutely true. There is no exaggeration in this story at all. But I believe that God wants us using every available resource to find him. And so the word grope is in here. So here is my funny story. This happened a couple of weeks ago. My wife and I, we go very at a very high pace and long hours from early morning until late at night. And so Wednesday night we were having a conversation, and I was having a conversation with my daughter and our youth pastor, and we were talking about how that when I've gotten older, there's a couple of times that I have just completely and totally fallen, not in a sin aspect, but in a walking upright and bam, just down on my face. There was one time, literally my wife and I were walking along. I was looking at her, didn't realize that the curb dropped off. And so one moment I was looking into her eyes, and the next moment I was looking face down at the pavement. It hurt. It was painful. I stepped on something and only got half of my foot on a curb one time on a concrete slab. And when I did that, bam, down I went. It hurt. It was painful. That time I was at least wearing some pads. I was doing some construction. And but everybody said, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And so we're having that conversation. I go home that night. I couldn't sleep in my bed. Because I woke up, and so I went out to the couch and I decided that I was going to try and sleep out there. I did for a couple hours. Then there was a noise in the kitchen from turned out to be from a coffee pot that was preheating the water. Woke me up, and I said, "You know, I've got prayer meeting here. I've got to get up in a short period of time. And so I'm going to get up and go back to the bed." And when I went in there, our room is pitch black. You literally have to feel your way around, and you grope for the laundry basket was the thing I was actually feeling for. And because I didn't feel it, what I didn't realize was it wasn't there. I'd asked my daughter to take care of my laundry the day before because she was home on spring break. And so what I would have used to steer my path a little further out, I assumed that I was already further out because I couldn't see because it was dark. And the next thing I know, I found obstacles in the way, and bam, I went from walking very cautiously, I might add, to I was flat on my face on the tile floor. And my wife said, "Are you okay?" And I was still laying on the floor at the time. And I said, "Oh yeah, I'm fine. I'm just fine and dandy." There I was, flat down. I'm telling you that at that point in time, I would have given anything for a nightlight. She was still basically asleep. She knew that I had stumbled, but she thought that I ended up landing in the bed because my arm hit the bed. I pulled the covers down, and so she just felt covers move, and so she just thought I'd stumbled over things. Later, I told her about my escapade, and she had just gone back to sleep, and so she was like, oh, she was literally laughing so hard because all of a sudden she realized I could have used her help, but she was so sound asleep she didn't realize the seriousness of the condition. God positioned you and I because he wants us reaching out. Even when we don't see him, even when we don't feel him, he wants us to be reaching for him. But he says this, "I'm not far away." Today, if your spiritual eyes are not open, maybe you feel like you're walking around without direction. You are just feeling your way. And I'm here to tell you that God doesn't want you groping in the dark. He's looking for you to reach out for him. And so the difference between the groping here in Acts chapter 17 and the feeling in the pitch black that I did is that now we have revelation that we can reach out for him. We have the revelation of God's word. We have the revelation of Jesus incarnate. We have the revelation of other believers' lives. We are not groping around in pitch black darkness the way that the enemy would have us. He would like to blind your eyes, but God wants to open our eyes. It's initiated in him for us to have a covenant relationship that is not driven by our hormones. Listen, if we're going to look at covenants besides our covenant with God, the closest thing that you are going to get is the marriage covenant. It is not supposed to be driven by your hormones. It is not supposed to be just driven by your emotions. It is not supposed to be driven by your intellect or by your finances. It's not supposed to be a temporal arrangement or a temporary arrangement. It is supposed to be a spiritual covenant. It's supposed to be something that begins in your spirit and it manifests throughout the rest of the makeup of your being, the same way that you are supposed to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So, a spiritual covenant and involves and impacts every other arena of your life. It involves it all. And so when you have entered into covenant with God, I want you to know that he is fully involved in the process. He's not only going to give you attention some of the time, he is going to give you his undivided attention to such an extent that he knows what you have need of before you even ask. And he knows what you're thinking, and he knows what you intend. He knows when you're hurting. He knows when you're rejoicing. He knows when you need a friend. I can't tell you the number of times that I have heard people say, there was a person, they were prompted to pray for me by the Spirit of the living God at a time when I couldn't reach them by telephone. But at exactly that hour, even if it was halfway around the world, God was moving in people's hearts to pray and intercede for missionaries. That there were people who were depressed and suicidal, and God impressed somebody to say, "You know what? I've got a saint that I can call on, and they are going to be there." I believe that Ananias was divinely moved by God to be there for the Saul after his Damascus Road encounter to help him to understand that he wasn't just in this emotionally. And listen, Paul got solidly saved. He began to walk in covenant with God, and he said, God, every day that I live is a day that I will live for you. And so it's God initiated. God initiated. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. The second thing I want to share with you about covenant is God is the one who defines the terms. Last year, much to my dismay, the Supreme Court decided that they were going to redefine the marriage covenant that was initiated in the heart of God. They were going to redefine the terms. I want you to know that if you are in a contractual relationship, you can negotiate the terms. You can, rework the verbiage. You can play semantical games with it if you would like. It can be verbally manipulated or legally manipulated. But in a covenant relationship with God, God's the one that sets the terms, and those terms are not up for negotiation. The Ten Commandments are not the Ten Suggestions. God's not going to negotiate and say, well, if you will keep 1, 2, 3, and 4, you don't have to worry about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. They're not up for negotiation. I can't tell you how many times I have wept when people have said to me things like this. Well, I know what God's word says, but I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to, and then I'm going to repent later. That's not the covenant relationship that God wants to have with you. Other people have said things like this. Well, God and I have special understanding. I know that I gave my word. I know that I said that I would do this, but in actuality, God and I have negotiated terms contrary to what is revealed in his word, and we have an understanding, wink, wink. I want you to understand that God's terms are not up for negotiation. A lot of times people reach out to God in times of desperation and say, God, if you will get me out of this, I will do this. There have been many times where people have testified that when God did get them out of that situation, then they began to try to renegotiate the terms because they had committed all of themselves and now they were trying to keep back part of that. The reason that it is not up for negotiation is that we have no bargaining power, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. All we have to look forward to is separation from God, and it is our fault. Death means separation. It is separation of life from the body. It is separation of the soul. Spiritual death is the separation of man's spirit from the spirit of the living God. That's what death is. And so hell and the lake of fire are a place of perpetual separation from God, perpetual death. It's a place of agony and misery. And so we are people of no negotiating value. There is very little strength. No matter how wise you are, how gifted you are, how financially set you are, it pales in comparison to the resources that God brings to the table. We bargain from a spiritually bankrupt position. Now, if you were playing cards, if you were playing poker, one of the strategies in poker, and I don't play poker, but I do understand the game a little bit, understand the strategies, that one of the strategies is sometimes you can bluff your opponent to think that you are in a stronger position than what you actually are. And the reality is this, you will never be able to bluff God. You will never be able to get him to think that you are in one position of strength when in actuality you are completely and totally outclassed at that point in time. You're never going to be able to bluff him because he knows what you think. He knows what you have. He knows the condition and the spiritual reality of your life. You're the only person that you deceive when you try and bluff God is yourself. In other words, whenever we enter into covenant relationship with God, I want you, because I just used the poker illustration there, let me tell you from a poker term, the terms of God's covenant, and that is you are all in. You are in with your body. You are in with your finances. You are in with your mind. You are in with your spirit. You are in with your finances. You are in with your priorities. You are in with your family. You are in with everything you own. You see, the vehicle that I drive is simply a tool that God has given me to be a steward of, to utilize for the furtherance of his kingdom. It belongs to him. Everything I have belongs to him. And so if he says, I need all that you've got for this particular reason, then I understand that he is also all in. He is not hold. If he did not withhold his son, how would he withhold any good thing from us? You see, he is all in to the relationship that he wants for you and I. He is not just giving you salvation. He is giving you mental health, physical health. He is giving you financial wisdom. He gives you the ability to produce wealth. There is all sorts of gifts, all sorts of blessings that come from being in covenant relationship with God. I have a saying, and that is this: when you enter into a covenant relationship with God, God comes and he brings his entire entourage of blessings with him. So I want to reemphasize, when it comes to being gifted or blessed, that is fine, well, and good. But when you walk in covenant, you not only walk in covenant, you walk as a gifted person, a supernaturally gifted person, along with a naturally gifted person, with natural blessings and financial blessings and relational blessings. You walk with all sorts of blessings. In the old covenant, men's bodies bore the evidence of covenant in their bodies. It was something that took place in their flesh. In the book of Romans, it says that just as your body used to be used as an instrument of unrighteousness, now let it be used as an instrument of righteousness. You see, in the old covenant, the Old Testament, it was man's body that bore the marks that said there's a covenant. We are a covenant people. We are a people in covenant with God. But in the new covenant, the New Testament, I want you to know that Jesus bears the marks, the physical marks of that covenant. Through the stripes upon his back, the piercings in his hand and in his side. You see, Thomas said, unless I see the nail prints in his hand, unless I put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And some days later, he happened to be with the disciples. He wasn't there. I don't know why he wasn't there. The first time that Jesus appeared, and when Jesus appeared, he said, Thomas, come here, come here. Put your finger into the nail prints. Put your hand into my side. And don't be doubting, but be believing. You see, Jesus, this was post-crucifixion. It's post-resurrection. He bears the marks in his body that a new covenant has been established. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who believe who have not seen. Today, I want you to lift up your eyes. You are not the deprived. You are the covenant people of God. If you are not walking in covenant with him today, you can change that. Today, listen, there are a lot of people that say, I just want to receive forgiveness. That's all I want. That's part of covenant. Don't stop there. I just want to be blessed. I want to be blessed financially. I want to be happy in my life. I want you to understand God wants you to be happy in your life. But he also wants you holy. And he wants to do life with you. He wants to be bound together. He wants you and he to walk the path of holiness together. And he's taken the first step. He's defined the terms. Today, I want to ask you, are you willing, are you ready to be all in, not holding anything back, but saying, God, my whole existence, when I come to the altar, I'm bringing the entirety of my being because I want to walk in covenant relationship with Jesus. Today, if you're listening and you haven't been walking with that level of commitment and covenant, today you can do this. I read Genesis 6:18. You know what God's covenant with Noah was? If you will get into this ark that you have built under my instruction, it is going to result in salvation for you and your family. Today, I want you to know that there has been a vessel that has been prepared that will result in the saving of your family, of you and your entire household, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have never entered into a relationship, or maybe you've committed before, but you've not been walking committed now, why don't you say this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for your great love for me. I want to thank you that Jesus was moved with compassion, that he came and he lived and he died, and he gave his life so that my sins could be forgiven. Jesus, today I want to commit all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and my strength to you. I want to thank you for the salvation that you have made available to me. I give you glory and praise and honor right now in Jesus' name. If you just said that prayer, or you just asked him to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, and you'd like someone to help you, call us at 454-4263. We would be more than glad to call you back, to send you some literature that will help you to grow in your relationship with God. I want you to know tomorrow we have our vintage service at 11 a.m. We would love to have you come and be a part of that. Also, if you're available at 6 a.m. and would like to come and hang out with us as we seek the face of the Lord, we pray. We open the sanctuary up from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., sometimes a little longer. Come and let's seek the face of the Lord together, and let's reach Brevard County with the love of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.